Brethren, can you feel that Christmas spirit out there? When you see all the decorations in your neighborhood and you hear the Christmas songs in the store, it starts earlier every year, doesn't it? Well, our neighbors across the street started early as usual, well before Thanksgiving, and they have already these large wreaths that go across their front of the house, and they already have the fully lighted Christmas tree that you see through the window at night. We haven't seen it yet, but when they had younger children, they would have that tall comic Santa Claus up there inflated, and next to it was deer inflated, reindeer. And then, of course, by evening they were drooling, and the next morning they were all just spots on the lawn until somebody turned the pump back on and they came up again. I believe one of the reasons that so many people spend so much money and so much time and energy buying gifts as well as decorating and partying for the man-made holiday of Christmas is because that's all they have to look forward to in this troubled world. And when you think about it, they have to begin early to try to enjoy themselves, because the joy of Christmas doesn't really last that very long. There's often such a letdown afterwards. Speaking of the money that they spent or spend for these holidays, we know that many people take a long time paying for what they buy, and it's suffering, and of course the churches suffer that time of year. And based on the NRF, National Retail Federation, they have a website, how much they estimate every year that this is going to be taking. They forecast for 2016 for holiday sales between November and December is expected to increase to $655.8 billion. $655.8 billion are expected to be spent between those 2 months for the holiday season. Even Halloween is spending, and they expect, $8.4 billion for candy. Just Halloween. That's for candy, for costumes, decorations, cards, etc. That's how important that day is for people in this country and certain other places. For the first 10 years of our marriage, before we knew the truth, my wife and I would join my family for a special meals throughout the year for special occasions. Well, let's see. My parents would do Easter, so we got off pretty easy there because we didn't have to do that. Paula, my wife, and I, we would do Thanksgiving. That's how that ended, and we always had them come down for Thanksgiving. And my sister and her family would do Christmas because they had the younger children, so it was better for them to have that activity. So until we came into God's church, we would go to my sister's home and exchange gifts and have a meal together on Christmas Day. As we began learning the truth, we began to notice something that we didn't notice before so much about the Christmas spirit. When it was time to open the gifts, it was sort of a flurry of tearing off all the wrappings on the gift by the kids, which they liked doing. And then there'd be some hugs and some thank yous because they were well-trained kids. A few minutes later, it was over. And we had the feeling it was a spirit of, is that it? Is that all we got? Well, how much did you get? Back and forth. Again, part of the Christmas spirit seemed to be a letdown afterwards. When I worked at Georgia Tech, the four secretaries in our office talked my boss into letting them, with their own money, buy a decorative Christmas tree, not very big, and also some decorations, so that they could, you know, give it a little bit of a trimming during the Christmas period. He didn't like the idea, but he went ahead and let them do it 1 year. Well, after that first year, he had new rules for this. They were clear. They could not bring out the decorations until that last week before the Christmas break. And then, before you went to that Christmas break, he would not let you leave until you could take all of those things and put them back in the boxes and put them away in the storage room so they're out of sight. And he confided in me, because I was his assistant one day, to tell you the truth, Bill, the first year I let them put up that junk, he said, I came back into the office after New Year's a little bit early, he said, and when I saw all those decorations, I was so depressed all day long that I said, they're never going to do that again that way, and that's why I made them change, so that I don't have to come back and look at those things. Speaking of Christmas spirit, I remember one time as I was a boy that someone gave my parents a very special address book. It's for keeping track of Christmas cards you've received and Christmas cards that you send out. And so at the right-hand side, there were some columns you could check. And you'd put the name of the person who gave you a card, and you'd check received. And then you'd check whether you sent them one in return. And then next, you'd put all those names in there. And then the next year, you'd say, well, that's 2 years they didn't send us one, so scratch their name off. And then I'll go to the next. And that's how they handle it. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about two ways of living. He said, a way of give and a way of get. And I guess it can apply also to things like Christmas gifts and Christmas cards. I've titled this split sermon, The Christmas Spirit, Does It Please God? The Christmas Spirit, Does It Please God? In the time remaining, I want to review three ways that man's holiday of Christmas differs from God's true holy days. There's a difference there. Point number one, the holiday of Christmas is man-made, built on false premises. It's not in the Bible. The holiday of Christmas is built on false principles, and it's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to celebrate the birthday of Jesus or anyone else for that matter. And the Bible doesn't tell the date of his birth. Now, it's clear that it wasn't anywhere near December 25th. There were shepherds in the field. We read in Luke 2, verses 7 and 8. Luke 2, 7 and 8. And a census was also being taken at that time. We can read in Luke 2, 1 through 4. Neither of which these things would have happened in those cold, rainy months of December in that area. And the people who lived there can tell you that's true. There are clues to show when he was probably born, sometime in the fall. And this leads to the question, so why do people celebrate on December 25th? The answer? It was based on midwinter festivals of pagan gods. Festivals in existence 2,000 years before Jesus Christ's birth. Though late December was an important pagan holiday to the Greeks, Bacchanalia, the Romans, Saturnalia, sometimes with human sacrifice, and the Parisian cult of Mithra, which became the official Roman religion in AD 274. The first time the holiday was celebrated as Christmas was about 300 years after Christ. So he had nothing to do with it. It was also a celebration among the Druids and Germanic tribes who were allowed to continue their pagan rebirth and fertility customs, including evergreen trees and mistletoe, even after being converted to the popular form of Christianity. So Christ did not teach it, and he had no business with it, really. These wild and popular celebrations, full of debauchery, were still going on even after the church in Rome was formed. However, the church could not suppress it. And so in the 4th century, the church decreed that December 25th was to be observed as the birthday of Christ. In effect, what they did was paste the name of Christmas, the Mass of Christ, onto the pre-Christian midwinter festival of pagans. Along with this pagan festival came the Christmas tree, the Yule log, mistletoe, Santa Claus, and other traditions that are part of Christmas today. They have nothing to do with Christ or his birth. You can read more about these origins of Christmas, the church's literature, and also going online and just looking on anybody's facts of the truth. So Christmas holiday is built on false premises and pagan practices. On the other hand, God's holy days are based on truth from the Word of God as revealed in the Old and New Testaments. And these are days that Christ and his apostles followed in the early Christian years before and after Jesus was resurrected. Yes, these days are still holy. He didn't change them. They are not traditions of men. No syncretism, which is the mixing of pagan practices and the truth. God tells us that his holy days are his feasts. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. In Leviticus 23, we can read about that. Leviticus 23, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Leviticus 23, 1 through 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover." So then he went on, weekly Sabbath, and he goes on to name the 7 holy days that we keep. God is the only one who can make anything holy. God places these particular days on a plane that's much higher than humanly devised celebration, with all their false premises. Does it make a difference if we keep Christmas? No, it doesn't make any difference unless there is an almighty God out there. And there is an almighty God. Point number 2, the holiday of Christmas does not honor Christ. The holiday of Christmas does not honor Christ. In Deuteronomy 12, let's read this one. Deuteronomy chapter 12, we'll read verses 29 through 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12, 29 through 32. "When the Lord our God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to the gods. God says plainly in his instruction book to us that he will not accept that kind of worship, even if it's intended in his honor, which it is by some people. Jesus said plainly, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's John 4:24, familiar scripture, John 4:24. And what is truth? Jesus said, God's word, the Holy Bible, is truth. John 17:17 tells us that. The Bible says God will not accept worship when people take a pagan custom or manner of worship and try to honor God, Jesus, and Jesus Christ with it. He calls it an abomination. Yet if you were to try to get the attention of people who believe in Christmas and show them the facts and the fallacy of this holiday, would they change their minds and give up Christmas? I doubt it. Many people have tried this. They might say, well, yeah, I heard he was not born that day, but so what? Like, it's still a fun time, let's do it. How many of us have made the mistake of telling, when we learned this, of telling family members or friends at work or someplace else about Christmas or Easter? It made a big difference to us, but it didn't make much difference to them. Many people think, like a friend that learned that we weren't keeping it anymore. We'd known him for years, and we were keeping it, and now we're not keeping it anymore. He said, well, I don't make a big thing of Christmas myself, he says, but I like to get involved in it just because of the spirit of that day. He liked all the fun things of that day, the spirit of the day. I agree, there is a spirit in Christmas, a spirit of get, spirit of competition, spirit of spending and forced giving. For many, there's a spirit of partying and debauchery. And sadly for some, there's a spirit of loneliness and despair. In our local newspaper one time, years ago, there was an article in the health section of this newspaper just before, about the season, with dealing with stress at Christmas. And the title was, Happy Holidays, Right? Not Always. Manage the blues with these tips. The article said, 'Tis the season to be jolly. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Everyone is happy at this time, right? No, wrong. In reality, many people feel sad, anxious, and depressed during the holiday season. That's what it said. The article went on to admit that many people get stressed out with the holiday. Many feel blue or suffer more extreme feelings of anxiety or depression. It goes on to mention financial burdens that many end up spending beyond their means and then are faced with paying overwhelming bills. And after the holiday, the article says a list of tips now from a psychologist to deal with the problems. They even have a name for it. Seasonal affective disorder. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, capital S-A-D. For those who try to keep Christmas in a religious way, there's a spirit of false hope for peace and change in the world. These religious people who keep Christmas, many believe in Christ, and they go to church and they read their Bibles, and they keep Christmas because they sincerely believe that they are honoring Christ. But along with the Christmas spirit is a great deception. It's almost as if God of this world is saying, if I can keep people excited about and focused on my holidays, then they won't want to have anything to do with God's holy days because the two do not mix. In one way, the Christmas spirit is created each year not to honor Christ, but to sell merchandise, as we all know. What happened just recently, Black Friday. Like all of Satan's delusions, it is made to appear good, like an angel of light, as I mentioned earlier. Billions of dollars are spent on the merchandising spree every year, while people go further in debt and the churches suffer income shortages during this period. So keeping Christmas does not honor Christ. On the other hand, keeping of God's holy days, that does honor Christ. We honor God by keeping holy these things that He made holy. And only God can make things holy, as I said in the first point. So when we observe God's holy days, we are obeying and honoring Christ. These are commanded feast days for our benefit, so we can grow and be equipped to serve God in the future as a spiritual member of His family. Point number three, the holiday of Christmas has no lasting message of hope for the future. The holiday of Christmas has no lasting message of hope for the future. When I grew up in a Protestant church, there was a scripture that they read each year from the pulpit, in Sunday school class, and often they're printed in post. This is printed in Christmas cards and other materials. And this scripture is Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke 2, 14. It reads, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." After coming into the church, I learned that a better translation for the end of this verse is "to men of goodwill." As noted in the margin of my New King James Bible that I had at that time. But I was originally taught in the church, in their church, that this scripture was a message of hope in keeping Christmas. They said that by such a giving attitude, keeping this Christmas giving attitude, it would lead to a better world. In other words, if enough people would give glory to God someday through man's effort, with all the churches and missionaries around the world, things would improve. More people would be saved, and there would be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. This seemed like a message of hope for Christmas at one time. But as I got older, started to grow up and considered this, I heard this scripture year after year. And I began to doubt this idea of hope because nearly everybody was keeping Christmas every year, knowing that we were going to have a better creation. But all I saw was another war, more problems, more ungodliness around me in the world, and decreasing evidence of peace and goodwill. So the holiday of Christmas doesn't lead to true hope, as God's plan does. This is not to say that we don't think that the birth of Christ is a great sacred event and part of God's plan. We certainly do believe it. It is sacred. But the Father didn't choose to make it a worldly holiday with swap gifts and drink it up, which turned out to be a distraction, really, from the meaning of His life and death for all of mankind. As for swapping gifts, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, in a 1952 booklet on Christmas, wrote the following, quote, "Suppose someone you love has a birthday. You want to honor that person on his or her birthday. Would you lavishly buy gifts for everyone else? trading gifts back and forth with all other friends and loved ones at the party, but ignore completely any gift for the one whose birthday you are honoring? It sounds rather absurd, viewed in this light, and yet it's exactly, he says, this is exactly what people the world over are doing. They honor a day that is not Christ's birthday by spending every dime they can scrape up in buying presents to trade back and forth among friends and relatives, end quote. Then Mr. Armstrong goes on to add that most pastors will agree when I say that the month of December, when it comes around, nearly all professional Christians forget to give gifts, that is, offerings, to Christ and His church. For some groups, December is often the most difficult month to keep Christ's work from dying. So let's get back to God's holy days. Unlike Christmas, keeping God's holy days lays out the plan of God, which is all about repentance and hope for the future. After all, God is offering eternal life for us. Now we know that there are some good and sincere people out there who admit that there are some negative aspects of Christmas that shouldn't be there. So they advocate a move to put Christ back into Christmas. But how can you do this if Christ was never in Christmas to begin with? They do not mix. How many people look at what the present world has to offer? That's it. That is, Satan has to offer. How many people long for man-made holidays like Christmas with all the glitter and the traditions, but fail to see what God has to offer? True hope for the future. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter starting chapter 1, but Second Peter 1, beginning in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world around us through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the message of hope in keeping God's holy days that is missing from keeping Christmas. This is the truth that we need to review and think about every year at this time. The annual cycle of celebrating the festivals of God's holy days reminds God's people that He is working out His plan of extending salvation from sin and death and offering the gift of eternal life in the family of God to all of humanity, present, past, and future. In fact, the word hope is in the title of the church's booklet on this subject, God's Holy Day Plan, the Promise of Hope for All Mankind. So, brethren, we can see that the spirit of Christmas does not please God, and it will not last. And yet, with God's holy days, we can look forward to that day when everyone will worship God together in the spirit of truth.